Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. The words of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1, verse 1, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men came from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." And so Nehemiah is in captivity at this point in time over in Babylon, and the captives are going to be there a total of 70 years, and it's toward the end of these 70 years. And so he is in captivity. He's heard about what's going on back in his homeland, back in his home city of Jerusalem, and the remnant there that was left after the captivity, the remnant that was left has been in great distress and reproach because the walls are down around Jerusalem. And in that day and in that time when the walls were down, that meant the enemy had free access and free rein to come in and out and to tramp in and out across the walls and to come into your city, because the walls in that day and time, in the Old Testament times, many cities had built walls around them. That was their primary source of protection. Of course, they didn't have Air Force and high technology fences and all that that we have today, and so they were in distress. There was no way to protect themselves. They had no peace of mind. They had no comfort in their place. And so Nehemiah realizes the gravity of the situation. He realizes the importance of having walls around the city. And so as this news came to him, and the news that the walls were broken down, he said in verse 4, "And now it came about, when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Well, beloved, we need to get that same kind of heart for the walls in America. We need to get that same kind of heart. We need to have our hearts broken over the same things that break the heart of the Lord. We need to get down on our knees because of the situation here in America, and we need to cry out to the Lord. We need to do some weeping for the moral decline in this nation. We need to do some weeping because the walls are down and perversion reigns and sexual immorality reigns and corruption reigns and lying and cheating and lawlessness reigns, not only in the spirit realm, but we see in the natural that the walls are down. People are coming in our southern border with virtual impunity, and they're being welcomed here, and they're being given more and better treatment even than some of the veterans and some of the people who live here and are citizens and have served this country honorably and have served this country in the military. And so we need to shore up the walls. We need to shore up the walls spiritually and take a stand in the gap between our families, between our communities, between this nation and the devil who wants to tramp in and take hold of this nation and eventually cause it to decline and decay to the point where our enemies come in and take over in this nation. So Nehemiah said, "I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And then Nehemiah starts in verse 5, he starts his prayer, and this is a prayer of contrition. This is a prayer of brokenness, of a broken and a contrite heart. This is a prayer where he empties everything out before the Lord, where he leaves no stone unturned, and he leaves nothing untouched, and he just bears his soul before the Lord. And he says here in verse 5, "And I said, I beseech thee, O God, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against thee, and we have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances, which thou didst give thy servant Moses. Well, I'm going to stop right there and just say, if you'll notice in this prayer, Nehemiah took responsibility and full responsibility, not only for his own sins, not only for the things that he had done, which had separated him from God. And we have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that we are all sinners, and so we need to take responsibility for our sin. But also, in addition to that, we take responsibility for the sins of our forefathers. Many of our forefathers, even though they had good intentions, they had good motives, they acted in ignorance, and they passed foolish laws or laws that were not in accordance with God's commandments and His statutes. I'm thinking particularly back to 1973 when the law was passed by the Supreme Court or upheld by the Supreme Court that basically granted unrestricted free access to abortion here in America. And this has been a tragic decision for America. You saw in the news a recent month about the Planned Parenthood selling the parts of babies and auctioning off or shopping around to get the highest price for the baby's tissues and the baby's body parts. And this is just the most abhorrent, despicable, disgusting thing that God has exposed from this corrupt organization, that God has exposed it so the whole world could see how morally despicable and disgusting and degrading this is. And it is a sin and a reproach and a stain on this whole nation. And I pray, beloved, that this is just one of the many ways that the walls are down, but this is one of the most important ways, because God has given this nation great blessings over the years. God has kept His hand of protection and kept His hand of blessing on this great nation. And when we allow these kind of abhorrent, immoral, bankrupt types of moral policies and activities to take place in this nation, it is a stain and a reproach and a repugnancy that is a stench in the nostrils of God. It rises up and it is a stench in the nostrils of God. And so we have much to stand in the gap for, just as Nehemiah did. And so Nehemiah said, we have acted corruptly and have not kept your commandments. We have not kept your statutes. We have not kept your ordinances, which thou didst command thy servant Moses. And then Nehemiah goes on to remind God and speak God's words back to him, which is an important thing we can do in prayer, is remind God of the things that He has said to us. Remind Him of His promises. Remind Him of His words that He has given us in words of caution or words of guidance or words of admonition. And in verse 8 he says, remember the word which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there, and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Well, you know, in reading the Old Testament, you know that God promised that if the people did not keep His commandments, if they did not walk in His statutes, that He would disperse them, that He would allow their enemies to come in and take over them, that He would allow their enemies to take them captivity. And that is exactly what happened. The first enemies that came in were the Assyrians, and they took the 10 tribes, the northern tribes of Israel, captive, and they took them off to Assyria to be dispersed and never heard from again. And then the Babylonians came in 90 years later, and they took captive the two remaining tribes of Benjamin and Judah, and they took them off captive to Babylon. And those tribes were not dispersed. They were kept in Babylon for 70 years. But God had prophesied this to the children of Israel. He had told them this was going to happen. And beloved, the prophets are crying out to America today. Beloved, the prophets are saying to America today, get right before the Lord. Repent and turn to the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. And the prophets are crying out to the politicians, and they're speaking to the politicians, and they're speaking to the churches and to the pastors and to the church leaders. And the prophets are saying, get right before the Lord. Get right. Turn back. Turn from your wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways and pray to me, then the Lord says, I will hear their prayer from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so the prophets are crying out, do it today, do it today. Don't wait, don't procrastinate. Don't expect somebody else to cry out to the Lord. You get down on your knees. You get down and you weep and you fast and you mourn before the Lord, and you cry out to Him, and you seek His face in prayer, and cry out for your family. Cry out for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Cry out for your pastor, your elders, the people who are in authority over you. And God loves it when you do that. God loves it when you have a broken and a contrite heart, just as Nehemiah did. Well, we're reminded of King David, who also had a broken and a contrite heart. David had taken the wife in an adulterous affair. He had taken the wife of his comrade on the battlefield, Uriah, and he had taken his wife and he had lain with her and impregnated her. And when she found out that she was pregnant, David then, in a panic, tried to conspire, and eventually did conspire, to have Uriah killed on the battlefield. And so David was involved in a great cover-up that tried to preserve his reputation and make him look good and try to keep him in good standing amongst the people. But among one man, the prophet who was sent to David, David was given the truth that he had violated God's trust in him, that he had greatly transgressed the blessings that God had given to him. And so David was broken because of the circumstances in his life. He was broken, and he was weeping, and he was fasting, and he was praying, and he was on his knees before the Lord day and night. Psalm 51:16, David says this, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, O Lord, otherwise I would give it, and you are not pleased with burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Some of you out there today, I know you have a broken heart. I know there are circumstances and situations in your life that have caused you to have a broken heart. Maybe you're suffering through a divorce, or maybe you're suffering from some illness, cancer or arthritis or some type of debilitating disease, and you have a broken and a contrite heart. And I ask the Lord to bless you today. If you are listening to this message today and you're seeking the Lord with that situation going on in your life and that brokenness going on in your life, I ask the Lord to lift you up today, to fill you up, to strengthen you today, and to raise you up to walk in newness of life. And for those of you who are listening today and things are going pretty well today for you, you give Lord praise, you give Him praise, you thank Him for the blessings that you have, because when there's not a storm in your life, there's one coming. And if you're coming out of a storm, there's another one on the horizon. And it may be for all of us, it may be for some of us individually, but we are always going to be encountering storms. And so you give the Lord thanks today. You thank Him. For those who fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in His wings, and you will go forth as a newborn calf kicking from the stall. And so I pray that the Lord will give you healing in your wings, and that you will go forth just as the sun came up this morning. You will go forth as a newborn calf kicking from the stall. Well, in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we find out that Nehemiah, who is the cupbearer to the king, has shown himself to the king, and he looked very sad, and the king picked up on it, and the king said, "What's going on, Nehemiah? What's happening with you?" And so Nehemiah explained to him that he'd gotten word about his brethren back there in Jerusalem and how the walls were down. And so the king said to Nehemiah in verse 6, "The king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, 'How long will your journey be, and when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time." And so Nehemiah had asked the king for time to go back to Jerusalem, and he had asked the king for blessings and favor, and the king granted it. And even when you are doing the work of the Lord, when you have accepted the call and the mission and the destiny that God has chosen for you, even pagan kings, even those who don't know the Lord Jesus or who don't know Jehovah God, God will put them beside you to help you. God will put them beside you to bless you. God will put them beside you to give you provision, even those who don't know the Lord. And he does this because he is a sovereign God, and he can overcome the will and the position of any person here on this earth. He raises kings up and he takes them down. And in addition to that, God wants you to be a light to the Gentile world. He wants you to shine your light, to be salt and light in this world. And so God will put you in situations when you are doing his work, when you're doing his will. He will put you in situations where you can be a light and a witness and a testimony to people who don't know the Lord. Proverbs 16:7 tells us this: when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so God will put people beside you. Even your enemies sometimes will come alongside you and bless you. And so you bless them in the name of the Lord. You be a witness and a testimony to them in the name of the Lord. 2:9, now I came to the governors of the province beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. And so not only did the king bless him and send him on his way, but he gave him letters to show to the governors of the provinces, so Nehemiah would have safe passage and he would have blessings as he went. And not only did he provide him letters to the governors, but also he gave him provision, and he gave him authorization to get provision in the way of timbers and things that he needed, food, water, things that he needed along the way. And he provided horsemen, and he provided army officers for him to protect him. And so God blessed Nehemiah greatly through this pagan king. Well, as you do the work of the Lord, another lesson that we can learn from the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to delve into this more next week as to how the enemy came against Nehemiah. But when you are doing the work of the Lord, get ready, brethren, because you are going to be persecuted. You are going to be made fun of. You're going to be mocked, and the enemy will show up. Just your thinking about doing work for the Lord, the enemy is going to show up, and he will start to attack you. And this is where the spiritual warfare comes in. The battle begins when you start to engage the battle. The battle begins when you start thinking about doing the work of the Lord in your life. The battle begins. And the devil will try to talk you out of it. He'll show up just as he did in Nehemiah's day. It says the enemy in verse 10, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard about it. And it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. And so these two men, Sanballat and Tobiah, are pictures of the Antichrist. They're pictures of the devil. And the devil had sent them to disrupt the plans of Nehemiah. The devil had sent them to make fun of him and tear down the good plans of the Lord. And this is what is going to happen with you when you decide to accept the call God has on your life, when you decide to go on a mission trip, when you decide to start preaching the word or prophesy or whatever it is that God has for you. The enemy will come in, so get ready for it. Get the gospel armor on, put that gospel armor on, and get the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, out in front of you, and get ready to do battle with the enemy. Well, Nehemiah 2:17, Nehemiah had taken a trip around Jerusalem. He's back there looking at the city. He took a trip around there at night to survey the situation. And I said to my brethren, you see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. Nehemiah is stirring up the enthusiasm. He's stirring up the courage of his comrades, his brethren there in Jerusalem. And in verse 18, he says, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words, which he had spoken to me. And then they all said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work of the Lord. And so as you step out as a leader, as you step out and you have courage and you have boldness and you have confidence, you will influence many people who are weaker than you, and you can reach down that ladder, you can reach down that mountain of God, and you can pull them up. Don't go off and leave them. You pull them up with you. And just as Nehemiah did, he told them about the king's words, he surveyed the situation, and he said, we can rebuild these walls. And so it is, beloved. We can rebuild the walls here in America. We can shore up the places where the enemy is running in and tramping in unrestricted. We can stand in the gap for our children. We can stand in the gap for our churches and our pastors and our leaders. We can stand in the gap for our elected leaders. We can go to the voting booth and we can elect good, godly men and women to lead this country. And so we can stand in the gap and we can turn the direction of this country around. Well, I'm going to close in verse 19 of that chapter. The enemy shows up again when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about what we were doing. They mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? And so Nehemiah answered and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you, Sanballat, shall have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Well, I say to you today, beloved, as I use this platform that God has given me, I say to you today that we can arise and rebuild here in America, that the God of heaven will give us success. But we have to turn to him. We have to seek his face. We have to get down on our knees and cry out to him. And he will give us success. He will give us victory over our enemies, that this nation can be turned around. And I pray that this happens quickly. I pray you take this message to heart. I pray that you act on it, that you spend time in prayer and in fasting and in mourning, and then you set about to do the work that God has given you to do. As you hear me today, I'm in Africa preaching. I ask your blessing on the mission over there. I pray that you would come before the Lord, not empty-handed today, but you would come before the Lord with an offering, and that you would bless the Africa Mission, to bless this ministry. I pray that you would make a sacrificial offering to help us pay for the expenses of the crusades and the revival events over there. And as you do that, you'll be helping me to stand in the gap for the people of Africa, for the families and the communities in Africa, and you will also be shoring up the walls here in this great nation of the United States of America. Well, thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.